Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Good Game and Nice Try. My name is Sonia and I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Aaron Blair.
Before we started, Sonia ripped on me because she said I was low energy, all right? And now, guess what? I'm coming in super hot. Screaming about Mortal Kombat, all right?
Sure. He started off with, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, whenever you're ready,
I guess. I save it for the recording.
You preserved all of it until I called you out, and then you combusted into the Mortal Kombat intro.
I screamed Mortal. And by the way, can I just say, as a side note in life, you know, we're all stuck in our houses and all this thing. I have been singing the Mortal Kombat theme song to myself since we talked about Mortal Kombat and since the trailer came out. Because you can put anything in there. You know, it's like, yeah. Mortal, do, Kano, do, doing the dishes, do, I'm tired, do, should I watch TV, I'm a psychopath. Anyway, how are you doing? How was your week? What's up?
Good. You know what? I'm just glad that something has replaced the Halo, like, ominous, oh. I know you were on that train for a while, so.
Oh, when I'm happy, I still go, oh. I did that last night. I made some blackened salmon. I was like, oh, this looks great. Oh. I'm trying to rig my toaster oven so when I make food and I open it, it just automatically plays the Halo theme. That's what I'm working on right now. And, you know, I got to say. And one thing, here's one thing that I want to bring up, which is Mortal Kombat has a great theme song, okay?
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, part of the allure of Mortal Kombat and why in the beginning it got so famous, or the movie got so famous, is because of the theme song. I am, you know, I will say something that doesn't have a great theme song, that I'm kind of surprised that it doesn't have such a good theme song, is Pokemon. Why doesn't Pokemon have a great theme song?
Excuse me?
What is the theme song? Pokemon!
That's it. Charizard. The Pokemon theme song is iconic.
Well, sing it then. What is it?
You gotta be the very best. Like no one ever was. Blay, to catch them is my real cause.
Jen, our producer, is nodding. Do you know the Pokemon theme song?
Yes, it's iconic.
See, thank you.
What do you mean it's like?
It's like Eye of the Tiger, but for Pokemon. Like, it just builds you up.
It builds you up, and then at the end of the episodes, they would have the Pokemon rap, and they'd rap a whole bunch of Pokemon. Come on. It's hype.
I want somebody here to sing it. I don't mean to put you two on the spot, but I'm putting you both on a single spot, which is... Well, I don't even know it. What is it?
I gave a taste of the lyrics, and I think I actually butchered them. So I don't know, Jen. If you wanna take it away.
Well, no.
Pokemon. Squirtle.
I'm trying to think of how it goes.
See, now that we're put on the spot, I'm pretty sure that I butchered it.
Not iconic. No, if you have to think how it goes, it's not iconic. Enough, it is.
I just don't want to butcher it so much that it takes away from the level of greatness that it's already at.
There we go.
That's a great answer. All right, fine. All I'm saying is, you know what? Maybe we give Pokemon the Mortal Kombat treatment. Nobody ever has a problem singing the Mortal Kombat theme song.
No. Nobody does. I'm into that.
Pikachu! I want to be the very best. No one ever was.
your chest. Your dreaming is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Keep working on to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon,
we don't have any more time to waste. Listen. We have a great, great guest today. He's a hilarious comedian, actor, and writer, as well as the creator of the Adult Swim series, Final Space, which returns for its third season on March 20th. Seasons 1 and 2, of course, are streaming right this very second on HBO Max. So check them out. We loved chatting with this fine young gentleman. Please enjoy our interview with Olin Rogers. Olin, thank you for joining us today. We're very excited. Final Space is amazing, super funny.
Thank you.
Obviously, Mr. Conan O'Brien plays a small part in that
Clarence.
As well.
Yeah, it's not far off from his personality.
And you know, Final Space is one of my favorite things about that show. Is I love the pacing and the energy. I mean, the comedy is also top notch, but it's like one of those shows where I start watching and then like all of a sudden it's dark outside and it's 8 hours later and I'm like, what the Jesus?
It's like the casino effect. Like, wait, it was daytime.
But it's interesting because talk to us a little bit about, because I feel like it would be the perfect video game.
Oh, yeah.
What would the Final Space video game be? What would that be?
A Final Space game would be awesome. I think it has all the components. It's got characters. It's got a story.
I'd agree. Those are our main components.
It's got music.
Yes.
Music. It's got some music. And it's got a cast that can voice the characters. It's got everything going for it.
On a silver platter. It's being handed to us.
That's right. That's right. What are some, now, what are, talk us through a little bit about your experience with games. In your head, what is some inspiration that you use from video games and have put into Final Space, the show?
Oh man. Oh yeah. It's, you know, if you've ever played, you know, a game with a really immersive story, like a Final Fantasy or something like that, you will definitely see like, man, there's something about this that's making you not want to stop play the game. You know, you want to keep playing it. You want to find out the next thing. And it's that, how can you craft a story so compelling and thrilling and make that something where you just want to keep coming back and playing and you know, experiencing it over and over again. So there's something about those particular games that, you know, you just kind of are so immersed in it, like Mass Effect and stuff like that. Like you just kind of love the story so much. So there's something with that. And it's the story, it's the music, it's the voice acting, it's the writing, it's every element that goes into that story. And it's the same thing with animation. You got to have all those components hitting on the top tier level in order to really submerse yourself into that story. So
totally,
the games do that on a different level than as opposed to like a movie. You know, you're actually experiencing the story, which is just so cool.
Yeah, 100%.
But are there, are there games that you've played or that you've been really immersed in that you think have done it right? That have really hit on all of those components that you you think really make up a good game?
I think the last game that I was just like, I loved every aspect of it was like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh,
yeah.
It was one of those games that I knew nothing about it. My dad bought me this PlayStation 4 because he wanted to just play games with me.
Oh, that's adorable.
Aww.
I know.
I love that.
He was like, He sent it to me, and I guess he bought my brother one who's like in the Air Force. And he's like, let's play games. Cause we used to play games back when I was a kid, like, you know, Age of Empires 2 and stuff like that. Like, we would just do that all the time. And so they sent me a stack of PlayStation games. And I always had an Xbox. So I was like, okay, I don't know anything about these games.
What if you were like, I'm an Xbox guy, Dad? You should know me. Just threw it right in the trash.
Dad, brand loyalty, where? Where is it?
I have no brand loyalty. If they put me a PlayStation, I'm playing it.
I love it.
But yeah,
I love it.
I saw Horizon Zero Dawn, and they sent me Dark Souls. They sent me like all like the classic games. And I played Horizon Zero Dawn, and I was just like, oh my God, what is this game? This is awesome. It was like on another level of the graphics. And then once you really start getting into the story, mm-hmm. you're off. And I remember I woke up like it was, I look outside, it's like, you know, daylight, you know, and then you're basically finishing the game in like 2 days. But it was amazing. And it was one of my favorite games.
I had an interesting experience with Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, look, I live my life with a lot of hot takes. Okay. Yeah. I'm very judgmental. All right. Horizon Zero Dawn comes out and I'm like, robot dinosaur. And I mercilessly mocked that game. And everyone is like, no, you should play it. It's good. It's good. I'm like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So finally, I don't remember if somebody like held me down and made me play it. I start to play it. And then like an hour in, I'm like, oh, ah, and I'm setting traps and I'm like into it. And like, I'm hunting in the grass and I'm like taking 45 minutes to like suss out a camp.
Yes.
And I love that it. Game.
It's amazing.
Sonia, aren't they coming out with a new, like, they're coming out with a sequel, right?
Yeah. Forbidden West.
Forbidden West. That's it.
Yeah. I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out, but yeah, it's funny because I almost had a similar introduction to Horizon Zero Dawn where I saw it for a while and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I finally sat down and played it. And I was like, the same thing. It took me forever to play The Last of Us, the first one. And now I feel like I'm the kind of person that it's like when you buy an air fryer and now you have to tell everybody about the air fryer. You're like, I am a firm advocate in this. And now I'm like, you got to play The Last of Us. You got to play Horizon Zero Dawn. So I too feel like I have come full circle. Totally.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was, I think it might be something with the name, you know, like you just Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, what is that? And I remember looking at the cover and I immediately was like looking at the other games. I went to the other games. I was like, what else is there? You know, The Last of Us. I was like, oh, sweet. Okay. You know, just kind of went through.
Yeah.
I don't know why I put it in. I don't know why I attempted to play the game. I don't know why of anything. Nobody recommended it to me. I just put it in and I started playing it and I was like, this is my favorite, one of my favorite games
it's
now.
It's so fun.
It is really good.
So good.
I just wanted to back up because I still can't get over how you have like the best dad ever to send you a PlayStation a whole bunch of games.
Yeah.
What did you guys play together?
We were playing like The Division and we tried Dark Souls.
Man, oh God.
I kept dying. That game is so freaking hard.
What are we doing?
It's brutal.
And my brother and my dad are like, you just have to get past the intro so we can play together. And I'm like, that's not happening. I hate this thing. And I was like, look, my brother was walking me through to beat that first boss. The first boss, not even like, it was like the introduction boss.
Yeah, it was like tutorial boss.
The tutorial boss. I couldn't get past that freaking guy. And so I played it for like literally 2 days trying to get past this guy. Finally get past him. And then we start playing this like multiplayer, this weird multiplayer where we're playing together, but they're like level 9,000 and I'm like level 3.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we just got to stick together because other players can come into our server and they'll start attacking us.
You're like, great.
What the freak is this? And then they're like, and then all of a sudden there's like, I can't even remember when, but like a player, like a bell goes off and they're like, okay, there's somebody here. They're getting ready to attack us. And I'm like, I'm level 3. Guys are like way higher levels. I die instantly. It was a guy breathed on me and I'm dead. And they're like fighting and they're like trying to, you know, revive me and stuff. And it's like, can we play another game where you guys aren't so high up? But yeah, that game is so freaking hard.
It's so hard. And I just love the idea of your dad and brother standing there having this like elite battle and they're slaying people. And you're just like, I am very ill-equipped for this situation.
You know what? My favorite thing about like Dark Souls and From Software, like Bloodborne, Dark Souls, like these, like Sekiro, these super just punishing games. I don't like playing them, but I do like watching people on YouTube who do these runs where they try to get through without getting hit.
Yeah.
Have you seen these?
No.
Like
psychopaths.
They like, first of all, it is as crazy as any game you'll ever play because it's so intense. Because the guy has played for 3 solid hours and like he's like walking down a hallway. He's like, you know, because he's trying not to get hit. And if he get, and as it goes on, it gets so intense because he's like been sitting there for hours. And like at the end, he's like shaking. And I'm just like, oh, please win. And then, you know, obviously they'll win or they won't. And if they win, it's like they cry. They literally just break down.
I would too.
Oh, God. It feels like, I don't know, like they're liberating France or something in World War II. It's just like, holy God. Like,
what are these called?
Just like no hit.
Like a no hit speed run or something.
No hit speed run or whatever. And somebody, this is a true thing, somebody just very recently did like the entire Dark Souls. So Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 and Bloodborne all in a row, nonstop, without getting hit. And they wept. They like full on sobbed. And by the way, I was sobbing. I was like, I had to like call my mom and be like, oh God, what is life? You know?
You're calling mom like this guy in Dark Souls. And she's like, what are you talking? What?
I don't even know how that is humanly possible. I was getting hit left and right.
I don't know, man.
Just like,
I think we should have a competition between the three of us and see who can go no hit the longest. Because I think it would, it's only like a 5-minute commitment from all of us. So I think
less than that.
I will lose. I'm out. Like, it is the hardest game I've ever played.
But people have described it to me as a rhythm. It almost becomes a rhythm based game, mm-hmm. like Guitar Hero or like DDR or something, because of how the bosses attack and how you dot, right? It's supposed to kind of be like a rhythm thing. I will never understand it or get it.
Yeah. But
I hear that the people are good at it. That's kind of the concentration there.
They know the methods.
So I don't know. Now, you're not a musician, but how are you at the Guitar Hero Rock Band stuff?
I was so awful at that.
I also can't play Guitar Hero.
I was so bad. Like, there's some people that are just
your dad
like,
and brother shredding, just like soloing out, and you're in, shredding.
Yeah, there's some people that can do it on another level, and I was just like, come on, like what the freak? It was like I'm like mediocre on every game I've ever played, but I love playing games. Yeah, but I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
You have fun. You have fun, and then you can sit there and watch your dad on like Expert Plus or something, just shredding solos.
You know what? I got to say something. Now, Sonia, I don't want to out you here.
Oh.
But Sonia's, we played Among Us, and she's really good at Among Us, and I'm terrible at Among Us.
I played Among Us once, and I just was completely quiet the entire time because I didn't know what it was. There were people running around. I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this is. People are talking about it. I was just kind of like just being, deceptive by not saying anything at all.
Oh, okay.
Hoping that they wouldn't say anything about me.
Okay.
And they didn't. I slipped through the system.
That's it. That's a strategy just in and of itself. You could just fly under the radar.
I will say, but one thing I think that Among Us has been it's been really interesting to see people who don't normally play video games play Among Us because it does kind of get at the core of what I love about video games. And honestly, what I love about storytelling, which is it teaches us something about ourselves, which is great. Like Among Us taught me how I would act. You know, like I didn't realize I was that nefarious. I am an a-hole. I have no morals. And it's interesting because when I play, and Sonny and I have talked about this many times, like when I play games like Skyrim or whatever, or Fallout is a good example, I always basically play how I am in real life. You know, play like I have good morals.
Oh, man. Dude, same way, man. Same way. It's like I can't do the bad thing.
Right.
It's like I'm like debating it with myself. Like, yeah, I just got to be good. I gotta be the good guy. Like, and I just hit good and I keep doing it. Like every single time I'm like, and I feel bad the moment I'm like, I hit the kid. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, I just want to, you know, nurture the kid.
Right. Do you ever go back and play with the famous example we use often in Fallout 3? You know, it's the people who blow up Megaton. It's the people who save Megaton.
Yes.
Do you go back and live a little and let loose? Or are you just straight, you know, good
path? Can't do it. I will feel so bad if I like in the game, like, and I don't want to feel bad playing the game. If I make one of those decisions that like I just do something evil and I'm like, but there is one thing I will do sometimes. This is the most I'll go okay? And like, you know, Skyrim or something. I'll steal like cups, you know, from like store and stuff. Just to kind of like see, and but I always get caught and I'm like, then I pay the fine.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty criminal, I would say. That is theft. That is theft. So
I love it. I love it.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, well, we like to ask every guest their best game and their worst game. All right, now listen, we're not talking like best game for everybody. It's just your best game and your worst game, the game you hate the most.
I think, no, yeah, I wrote out a couple that I really enjoyed back in the yonder years. You know, obviously Age of Empires 2. I mean, that's for PC.
Yeah. Now, why? Mm-hmm. Why did you like Age of Empires 2? Why was it a game that really spoke?
I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I'm not that good at it either. But
you don't need to be good at it. You just need to, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like everybody like somehow gets their farms up quicker than me. They get their barracks, stables, everything. They're always faster than me.
Me too,
I've tried so hard and practiced so much and played this game so much. And I'm still average at this game. I can't find the code or like how people are so good at this thing. But I love it. I love the game. You build your army and you go at it. And I think the graphics are just like they're kind of bad, but kind of good. You know, they're good enough to be not bad, but bad enough to not be good. You know, whatever it is.
They're good enough to be kind of believable and suck you in. Like you were saying.
It's not cartoony, you know, but it's like it's fun.
It probably hits that nostalgic nerve too.
Yeah.
You know, it's there.
For sure. I mean, obviously for Xbox, I'd probably say Halo 2. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think I remember that game so much that I know what I was like drinking at the time, eating like Mountain Dew Code Red.
Can you set the scene? Yeah.
It's the whole presence, like going to people's houses with my massive Toshiba TV to play like LAN parties and bringing Ethernet cables. And like, it was like the whole thing about it. The experience of that game is just so, so fun.
We were talking to Thomas Middleditch, you know, from Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were talking about LAN parties because a lot of us have had that LAN party experience.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about the stench of a LAN party. And we actually, this is a real thing, made a candle. Team Coco, those mad lads, the Team Coco folks contacted fragrance engineers, dude. This is a real thing. And they came up with, it smells like body odor with a hint of ramen. And it really does. I burned it.
God.
It really does.
We should have got Code Red in there. We really missed out on putting Code Red in there.
A little Code Red would have went a long
way.
That's
our next candle.
Next time.
It's just like, for a Halo 2 candle, it's Little Caesar's Pizza, Mountain Dew Code Red, and then just the sweat of like 30 gamers in a house and a dog. There's always a dog.
There's always a dog. There's always a dog, like a slightly damp, dog, like wet dog smell. I get it. I can smell like the cheesy garlic bread.
Yep.
I can smell that, and I got a little wet dog. So I think I have the picture painted.
It was like a Jack Russell, you know? Like there's always a Jack Russell running around in there.
Yeah, it's true. That's so funny. Yeah, I think that, right. The Halo 2 is what? Cheesy garlic bread and wet dog.
Hint of Code Red.
And a hint of Code Red. Are we just making a line of the worst smelling candles of all time?
I hope so. I hope this is our endeavor.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's But that game is, I mean, it's so fun.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of like sleeper games that I remember that like Ooh. Should not have been good at all. Mm. Like Fusion Frenzy. Have you played that?
I've never even heard of it.
I haven't played it, no.
Play this game. It's so fun. It's like, it was like on the original Xbox.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like a Mario Party-esque game. And it should not have been fun. But everything was working against this game.
Like what? And like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Why?
You just got to look it up. Look it up. Try to find it.
All right.
Okay.
And also Wave Racer 64.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That game should not be fun. like when they said, we're going to make a game about jet skis. Somebody said, you know what? We're going to make this the best dang game about jet skis ever.
And they did it. They did it.
It's so stupidly fun.
Unreal, man. I love that.
It's like Deadliest Catch. You don't expect to like Deadliest Catch.
Right.
But you're watching it, and you're watching multiple seasons of Deadliest Catch. It's about something that you've never thought that you would enjoy. And then you find yourself playing Wave Racer 64.
My favorite thing ever is, I was at the Emmys, and we're sitting, you know, you're sitting in this, whatever, Nokia Theater, whatever. And, you know, we're, Deadliest Catch is nominated in every category. Every category. Because it's a great show. It's an amazing show.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting behind whatever show they were with, they were nominated against Deadliest Catch in every category.
Wow.
So Deadly, you know, it's like, and the winner is Deadliest Catch. And they went, and people in front are like, ah. And as it goes on and on, the people right in front of me get more and more angry because now they've lost five times. Now they've lost six times.
No.
At one point, this is my favorite thing that's ever happened. At one point, the guy just furious, he leans over to the woman next to him, just goes, it's a goddamn fish show. I have never laughed so hard in my life at that. It was so funny. Like, just the bitterness.
Goddamn fish show.
And just like, you could see like the white knuckle he was just grabbing. He's just shaking with anger.
His lifelong dream happened. Being nominated for like 13 Emmys and not getting a single one.
Didn't win a single one. Oh my God. It was amazing.
I would love for
it. Riding high in a limo. We're not going to lose.
Oh, we got this.
It was.
It literally
was.
Fish show, like, we got this.
When it starts, they're like, really, everyone's really happy. They're really, it's kind of like the difference between the plane going to Vegas and the plane coming back from Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is like going, everyone's like, yeah. And coming back dead, like outer space silence. Just nothing.
Oh, that's so good. I would love to see any kind of like N64 award and someone is up against Wave Racer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, it's a jet ski game, you know?
Goddamn jet ski game.
I would imagine that probably happened.
I hope so.
It's a stupidly fun game. It's almost like it reminds me of like, it's games like that you don't expect little elements of that to be fun. Almost like Final Fantasy X with Blitzball.
Mm. Yeah.
Blitzball, what is that?
And what is that?
You're only playing the game now for Blitzball. And I played so many Blitzball matches. It's so stupid. I don't even think I finished the game. I was playing Blitzball. Like, I was like, I'm cool with just this. This is the game to me.
That's fine.
I got way too deep into like playing poker in Red Dead Redemption. Way too deep. I was like heavily into it. Same thing. I was just like, the game within the game, man. I love it. All right, so let's go.
Yeah,
games. Let's go.
What's
deep.
The opposite of Wave Racer? What's the opposite of Wave Racer?
There is one like old PlayStation game. I don't. I'm sure there's fans of it. I just remember my dad playing it and just being like, "What is this thing?" It was called Magic Carpet for PlayStation, the original PlayStation.
That's it. Just Magic Carpet.
Look it up. The entire thing is just you're flying on a magic carpet and you're collecting mana orbs. Okay.
Okay. Classic.
There's like shrines and you're depositing mana orbs into the shrine and then dragons attack the shrines. I think I can't even remember.
Huh?
That's the game.
Yeah. Visually.
That is it.
It looks like Spyro the Dragon and like Aladdin had a child or something, but like very, very low poly.
It's rough. It's a rough one to get through. And then obviously, you know, Age of Empires 3, which was
wow. Yeah. 2 to 3 is a big gap.
Get it out of there. Disappointment. And I think my hot take one is probably Destiny.
Oh, ooh,
okay.
Here's the thing. I love Bungie. Halo 2. Look, they did some fantastic games. Awesome games.
Yep.
I played Destiny. I did not know what I was doing. And it was like the same thing over and over and over and over again. You were doing the same mission. And it was it started to get boring. The second one was an improvement, though. I did play the second one. It was a vast improvement, but it was like that first game. It's like they tried to do too much. I think some of the story elements were like in cards that you had to get. Like they were very ambitious with it, and I appreciate that. But it's like I don't know what that game is. It looks good. It's smooth. Everything about it should be a good game, but there's nothing there. It's like a bag of chips. You open it up, and there's just air.
Yeah.
Like, where are the chips? Where are the chips?
No. Give me the chips.
That's very fair. And even, you know, Destiny 2. Now, I feel like I played a little bit of Destiny 2. I got into it for a hot second. But then when I got out and I tried to get back in, you are so behind. Because I feel like there's so much lore that everyone else is on it all the time. And they're so invested. They know the characters and the raids and, like, everything. And if you try to jump back in, you're so lost. Yeah. I feel like I can't get into it again.
I mean, it should have been like a fantastic, they had everything working for it. I think it was just missing something to make it compelling, like something to kind of mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Besides just going on a raid. And it's like, you just keep going on raids and you're like, wait, okay, so this is it. Like, you expected something else. Like, no, this is it. This is the game.
Yeah.
You go on raids. Get your stuff, and then you level up a character, and you're like, what am I doing it for?
See, I think we just need to find the game within the game of Destiny 2. Exactly. Maybe that's where that we'll find our fun.
I think Destiny 2 needs jet skis. If they added jet skis to Destiny 2,
I'm playing.
Boom! I'm in. Wave Runner Destiny 264. I can't wait to play it.
That's it.
I'm very excited.
I'm in. I'm booting that thing back up.
Boot it back up, baby. Well, Olin, this has been a delight. Thank you for stopping by. And of course, listen, everybody, the third season of Final Space premieres on Adult Swim March 20th. And seasons 1 and 2 are available now on HBO Max. So go and watch season 1 and 2 and then get ready for season 3.
Yeah.
Between bouts of Wave Runner 64.
Yes.
If you can peel yourself from Wave Runner 64.
You can peel yourself for that. Hop over to Adult Swim.
There we go.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was fantastic. Olin is fantastic, and the only thing that I want at this point in time is to play that jet ski game on N64.
Oh, God. Or even, we could rent jet skis socially distanced, right?
Like actual ones?
Yeah, they have real jet skis. That's what the video game is based on.
Wait, they exist outside of the game?
Yes.
That's a real thing?
Sonya, yes, jet skis really exist in the world. I call them water motorcycles, but I guess they're called
that. That sounds so much cooler. I'm in for that.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, everybody. We're going to keep talking about jet skis, but you guys don't go anywhere because after the break, we're going to prescribe some more games in another fantastic segment of Game Doctor. We'll be right back. Yes, jet skis are real.
What?
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we end today's episode, we wanted to help out one of you fine listeners in another round of Game Doctor. Now, at KO2W, or as I call it, Ktubu, writes, quote, love your podcast. Question for Game Doctor. I love some Monkey Island and Leisure Suit Larry games and couldn't find anything similar to that recently and equally funny. Some suggestions, please. Hashtag GGNT. So Monkey Island and Leisure Suit Larry, those are two games that are different.
I was going to say, well, we can dissect this a little bit. What are the elements of Monkey Island and Leisure Suit?
Yeah, I can't say
Leisure either. Suit Larry, yeah. That make it fun. Like, what about it makes them unique?
I'm going to be honest. I've never played Monkey Island.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, a game, what, 90s LucasArts kind of a situation, right? Mm-hmm. Leisure Suit Larry, I did play a lot of it as a younger person. And that's just, you're trying, and I'm sure it has not aged well, where you're just basically a creep, right? Trying to get laid.
I've never actually played it, but you've really put in the hours. So I love your review.
I have. And but a side note, by the way, to the first Leisure Suit Larry. So this is kind of before age verification.
Oh, no.
And so how they verified your age, I don't know if you know this, but how they verified your age in the first Leisure Suit Larry is you had to answer like five trivia questions that apparently only people of age would know.
Like what? Do you remember any of the questions?
One of them was like, I remember like one of them was about Joan Rivers. Like the Joan Rivers show. This is like real. I can't believe, actually, I haven't thought about this in like a decade, but it was like, Joan Rivers is now a talk show host, but what did she start out as? And I guess if you're like 13, you wouldn't know, but if you're 18, you would know that she was a stand-up. It was so weird.
It's knowledge that is bestowed upon you on your 18th birthday. These are all things that you know as soon as you become age.
Well, the weirdest thing about it is, so this is kind of like before the internet. So like, there kind of is no way to know. Do you remember when it was like times where you just didn't know stuff and you couldn't look it up and so you just don't know? Like, I don't know. That's just something I don't know.
It's one of those. I feel like they've gotten really lazy with age verification now. Now you just put in a birth date.
Yeah.
No more Joan Rivers questions. Let's cut to the chase.
But I think we should go back to the Leisure Suit Larry style of age verification and make people answer trivia questions. Because to like play a super violent game, you should be like, all right, smart guy, you know, what are the name of Journey's first three albums?
Go.
Like, oh, what? Like,
guess I'm not playing Doom today, whatever.
But anyway, so two games. So what comes to your mind when you think of like games like, you know, Curse of Monkey Island and Leisure Suit Larry?
When I think of games along those lines, I try to think of like funny, humorous, point and click, maybe adventure games. And I guess the first thing I think of is Grim Fandango.
Oh, me too. I was just about to say that.
It's so good. And they remastered it not too long ago. So it's
like a
film noir kind of Day of the Dead vibe. I haven't played a lot of it through, but it's always been kind of like a critically acclaimed point and click adventure game. It looks really fun. So
for people who haven't played a lot of it, it is basically like, think about, it's kind of like, it's like Sonia said, Day of the Dead. So you're a skeleton. Everyone in this world is a skeleton. The aesthetic is very cool, but the aesthetic is very film noir / Mad Men-y vibe. Mm-hmm. And you're like a detective. So it's kind of like a, you know, Philip Marlowe, Raymond Chandler kind of a situation, but in the Day of the Dead world.
Another one too, kind of hitting on that like adventure, humorous, just kind of out of the ordinary games. Toe Jam and Earl. Jam and Earl Back in the Groove.
Yes.
It came out 2019. I think the last game that they came out with before that, that's like the fourth installment in the Toe Jam and Earl universe. But I think the last one they came out before that was like 2002. So, incredible. It's just like a funky adventure game. All the music's really good. The bass is juicy.
So juicy.
Juicy tunes. And yeah, we've got Toe Jam, we've got Earl, and we're trying to repair our ship and get out of there. But there's so much good humor interwoven between it, and it's just funny. It's such a good game. And we've got a little treat for our listeners, for you amazing people out there. The incredible team at Toe Jam and Earl They have hooked us the heck up. We've got a bunch of game codes to give away and a bunch of swag. So all you have to do, head over to @goodgamenicetry on Twitter. Give us a follow and we're going to pick some random winners to send some beautiful, funky, juicy Toe Jam and Earl swag to.
Heck yes. Sorry about my language, but I'm just excited. Yeah. And also, of course, if you guys ever have any game doctor, if you ever want any game doctor recommendations or comments, questions, concerns, or you just want to say hi, hit us on our new Twitter @goodgamenicetry. Very exciting that we're launching that.
Oh, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for people to give their opinions on your stances on flashlights.
There's no opinion. There's a fact. And that is flashlights in games are the worst. And that's a fact. Come at, you know, at us. At me.
Now you can say it. Now you can say at me.
At me.
Well, make sure to add us all of your opinions, everything else in between. And that's it. That's all we got for this week. So thank you so much for listening. And if you have a request or recommendation or anything else, make sure to use Twitter, #GGNT or @goodgamenicetry. And we'll see you next time.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Beckton. Ooh. With engineering and sound design by Anya Zizik. Music by John Danik.
This is my formal request to do that in the Mortal Kombat theme next time.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.